Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 57 of 2P Start Live. He's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We hope you enjoy the show.
Yes, we do.
You know, after last week's 50-minute episode that I was able to magically cut down into, what, 35 or something?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe it either. But once I get going on Sonic Unleashed, there's no stopping.
It's funny because people were like, no Musical Misfits? What's that all about?
And yeah, they're like, what happened to Musical Misfits? And I'm like, well, when we were at like the 53-minute mark, I'm like, you know what? Time to stop the show, okay? And then I was able to edit it, and I was like, oh, this is actually shorter than some of the other shows with Musical Misfits. Like, whoops.
I know.
But we'll bring it back. If today's show is short enough, we might do two or something, but don't get your hopes up. Well, we're going to kick off the show this week with Comic Talk. This week we had Oil Panic.
Yeah, it was a great one, I thought.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I think it's the most oddball comic we've ever done.
Yeah, I find that strange that you would say that, because...
Yeah, that was my blurb, and Tim edited it. He's like, you know what, I'm just not going to give you a blurb since you said that.
No, actually, I didn't give you a blurb because it was so short that it screwed up the formatting, but...
Yeah, again, with all this formatting code stuff I don't know about, you know, oh, there's something about this language,
Ray,
I just can't do it right, it won't work.
Ray, it's complicated, you wouldn't understand.
but yeah, I think it's the most oddball one. I mean... Like, what would you say is more oddball than this one?
Absolutely the Dancing with the Stars one. Because, first of all, that's just like, not that it's bad, it's just not, that one is the least typical in my opinion, because there's not really that, like, joke part, you know? Like, it's funny visually or whatever, but it's not like, oh, I get it. There's nothing, like, to get, it's just a funny scenario.
Right, it's multiple little jokes that are all kind of...
Put together
and
yeah,
right.
So, to me, oddball.
That's the same sort of thing. Again, it's like, okay, video game,
well,
with like a worldly reference, and it's like, and then on top of that, to have it like black and white, first off, which is not usual for us, also have it just be one frame. It had like, you know, the strange border around it. We don't ever have like a black outline around our comic.
So I suppose you're saying that visually it's one of the strangest ones.
But see, it's a combination because it's both visually and the joke itself is also very strange.
I would disagree joke-wise because our Animal Crossing one is like, well, we're doing like government bailout of the mortgage industry combined with Animal Crossing, like that's weird, but it's not. I mean, we're relating a real life scenario to a video game scenario, and something that's current, that's going on in the world that people would relate to, and put it in video game terms. And that's the same thing with this comic. I think that's not an odd way to go about doing it. Now, visually, it's strange because of the source material. Oil Panic is a LCD game from the early 80s, mid 80s, so it's gonna look strange, but I think that's why it works so well, because it's like that classic look, and yet it gets across what, you know, a current event, basically.
Yeah, okay, you might be right. You might be right.
But I do
it's
see,
just,
it's visually,
just frustrating,
it's...
though, because you're right now, and everyone gets to hear it. But just 10 minutes ago, I was right about something, and we weren't recording that, you know?
Right. No, Ray, you're right plenty of the time.
By the way, this is about as hardcore our arguments ever get. This is about as like angry we
I
ever
quit.
Get
I quit. I'm
each
never
other.
Doing this comic again.
This is like,
I hate you, Ray. Yeah, that doesn't happen.
I'm going to send you a nasty e-card when this is over.
Oh, man.
This joke began as a Left 4 Dead comic.
Well, the joke didn't, but the week's decision making did, certainly.
Right, I guess like the final, you know, the final product originated as.
We were all over the place this week, because I kind of thought that there was something funny there with the Left 4 Dead cover art, which has the zombie without the thumb, basically. And so I'm like, hey, maybe there's a way to do like, oh, two thumbs up on this game, but there's no thumbs, or somehow put that in there, but we couldn't really come up with the right I mean, I think you were willing to do it, but I don't know that either of us were really sold on the way it was going to be done, you know?
Right, I was like, well, it would be easy to do like a Ray and Tim comic again, just have Timic like hold up his hands and have no thumbs. But I'm like, I mean, that's really like, it couldn't pass the test for me, I think.
Yeah.
Like, because I would imagine myself, if I were to have read this somewhere else, you know, if we looked up a particular webcomic, you know, because we read these webcomics sometimes and we're just like, wow, that was stupid.
Yeah, to me, that comic was more like a Control-Alt-Delete style comic or something. And so I wasn't totally comfortable because I'm like, this feels like a joke that he would do. Not that, you know, good or bad, whatever, but it didn't feel like us, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think that's what it was. It wasn't quite the cleverness that I hope our standards are at.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, like, you know, I'm not trying to bash on it because I didn't have any ideas at all. So, I mean, it's not like my idea was better or something.
Right.
I mean, it would have been easily.
Clearly. But... had I come up with one. And then, I was just throwing stuff out there at some point, hoping something would stick. And what were we talking about? Like, Bubble Bobble versus Kirby, and we were just talking about... oddball stuff, and that was oddball, and then I came up with the oil panic one, and I was like, oh, this will be good, and you still thought it was oddball, so I was like, are you still...
No, I said it was good, yeah.
No, I know you did, but then at the end, you ended up saying, I think this is the oddest one we've done. I'm like, were you not in that conversation where we were talking about Bubble Bobble and Kirby, you know?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, I mean, yeah, we've already been over that, though, and you won that argument, so...
I win.
It's done.
But
just let it go, Tim. Don't need to go through this twice.
So you remember that one time where I was right about the comic not being very odd? Oh wait, that was just 30 seconds ago.
5 seconds.
Actually, the comic. Yeah. Can you tell us like how you did it?
Part of what I do when I start these comics is I go out and I find resources to make sure I know what I'm drawing, because I don't want to be doing stuff wrong. I tend to anyways, but like when I just want to make sure I get little details right. So I, you know, you'll send me links to stuff ahead of time so I can get stuff as like a reference. But, you know, it's like a video of someone playing it. It doesn't have the clarity that I need, what I want to do. And I was kind of thinking, oh, it'd be really cool if I, because I know you had told me to do it in like a cool style that could be reused for other Game & Watch comics later on. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of imagining that same vector style, and then I was like, you know, it'd be really cool if I did like a pixel comic though, and it could be just totally pixels, and that could be a cool, fun thing because I love pushing pixels in. So, so I looked around. I was looking for like sprites to see what kind of sprites were around, and I found something. And I to make sure I wasn't using their sprites, like as far as copying and pasting, I actually like clicked them all in place myself because I'm like, I don't want to just copy and paste this over.
Right.
I'm like looking at certain things and just re-clicking it myself, so I'm doing it by hand. And then basically I was modifying it as I went. So like, okay, I need a table here. I need to get rid of these words up here, switch the doors or whatever it was. And eventually, you
actually
recreated
the scene of the upper screen of the real oil panic very well.
Yes. So I sent it to you. I basically did, after I did that all in Photoshop, because none of it was in Illustrator this time, which is something I don't want to do often. After I did that, then I started kind of colorizing it and doing little effects to make it more than just a grayscale image.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit of color, a little bit of gradients with gold here or there. Sent it to you, and you're like, yeah, it looks good. And but you're like, you know, it's the old Game & Watch games weren't pixels, though. I was like,
yeah,
oh,
what did you
crap.
Think when I said that? What was your thought?
Well, I was able to get it done. I was going to a friend's place that evening, and I was able to basically get it done, and I sent it off to you.
Yeah.
And then I went to the friend's place, you know, planning on not needing to go back home. And I get an email from you while I'm over there. I'm like, curse you, iPhone, for getting this message right now. And so I get the message from you, and you're like, you know, and I didn't see your initial reply.
Oh.
So all I saw first was you like, I don't know if it's a big deal, but the Game & Watch games are actually—they're not pixels. Like they're actually like clean, you know, clean vector images, basically. And I was just like, oh my god, oh no! Like, and I was like, maybe I should redo it because that's just messed up. But eventually, I was like, no, I think this will still work. And,
well, the reason, is when I first saw it, I was in love with it, and then I thought to myself, I'm like, oh, but. Then I realized that, you know, pixels weren't how they were done. And so I mentioned it to you, but I didn't want to. I wasn't like, Ray, we gotta redo this, because it's like if you were at home and you weren't doing anything and it didn't take you very long, then I thought, you know, I'd leave it up to you. And if you really wanted to redo it, then, you know, be my guest. But mm-hmm. but then I put it out there that, you know, when they remade these games for the Game Boy and for the DS, obviously there are pixels.
I don't think you told me that at that point.
Yeah, so I mentioned it later, probably. Yeah.
Right. I was really worried because, I mean, when I looked at sprites to go off of, I'm like, I don't mind doing sprites because these are actually what the sprites would look like in the game. I'm not just like copying someone's interpretation of it. And so then when you told me, oh, there are no sprites at all, I'm like, oh my gosh, this must be like totally custom sprites someone did, like. Just to replicate the original game, and now I'm no longer just replicating the original game. I'm actually like just copying this person's work. I'm like, oh, this is a horrible night. But eventually, you're like, oh, it's actually, you know, it's also in the Game Boy games. Or I was like, okay, all right, I'm still safe to some degree.
That's part of us living in different states and not doing the comic together.
Right.
Like I picture the Penny Arcade guys, you know, they actually have office space where they go and they play video games all day. And so it's like they're right there. They can go over stuff and they have all this time. And, you know, for us, it's quite different. And that's just one of those things. But again, I think it worked out really good. One, I think, interesting thing was, you know, I actually did make a lot of changes to the comic. Anyway, which... I was like, why am I making all these changes? And I think it's because I could. Because normally, you know, if it's a vectored thing that you've done, I can't change it and make it look like, you know, it was supposed to be that way, you know? I mean, there's very little... There's been one or two instances where I've fixed a line or something, and that was, like, painstakingly difficult to do to get the gradient right and all that stuff. And and in this case, with the pixels, it was like, well, you know, I think the chart there needs to say oil on it because I want to make sure people get it. If, you know, if they don't really remember what OPEC, what is that? Oh, oil, that kind of clicks there, you know. And I added the Nintendo logo at the bottom and the Game & Watch and then the border on the outside. And I changed the oil panic at the top with the gold lettering. And so,
and like you kept sending me these things like every hour. There'd be like a new change. Like, how's this change look? And I'm like...
what'd
like,
you do?
We never talked about this in advance, and I'm like, I guess it looks good, yeah. Because like, I'm not really into having a border around the comic. That's just my thing. So like, when you started making these changes, I'm like, that's not what I would do. But you know, I'm sure it took you 2 hours to do it, so I'll just let it be.
The thing with the
it's not gonna destroy the comic, so I'll let it fly. But
yeah, I mean, as I was adding more and more things, I'm like, I got to make sure I know when. When's enough, because you can only border the thing so many times, right?
No, there's you can border as many times as you want.
Like, let's get another border around the 2P star and then wrap the whole thing up, and yeah, so.
Well, hey, for every great comic comes great comments. Or in this case, this week, we had some creepy comments.
Yeah. It was kind of weird.
Creepy.
But, I think between this comic and Ray's high school comic, we got quite a few creepy ones. I guess this comic people loved so much that they ended up acting really creepy. And your comic was slightly violent, so people started talking about their own violent comic experiences.
Creepy violent things, yes.
Yeah, so where should we begin? I guess with oil panic, right?
Yes, we'll do a couple here.
Yeah, well, I think Lewellick started it off, right?
Yes. Yeah, here we go. Creepy comment number one.
Yeah. He says, OMG, this is so brilliant. Ray, Tim, I love you. This is the best comic you've ever done. I want to have your babies. Wow. At first I thought he was being sarcastic about the whole thing, like he didn't really love the comic, but he was making fun of other people that were... saying they loved
it so much. I mean,
I
was just thinking about how I'm not ready for that commitment yet.
Yeah, sorry, Lewellick. We're not quite there. But I think other people kind of echoed the same opinion, right?
Yes. Kulumik Koala, who said that because I said I'm not ready to have kids yet.
Mm, yeah, that's right.
Luella Koala said, when you're ready, I call seconds. Unless Tim is available. But yeah, then Luella says, I'm having Tim's first as well, as soon as I eliminate Sarah, that is.
Jeez. He even creeped himself out there, right?
Yes, yes.
See, the fact that people know my wife's name, that's creepy enough that that gets brought up. Right?
Well, she's been on the show. I mean, what do you expect?
I know, but that just makes
it... You sang her a whole song.
That makes it worse, though. Because, like, he could really find me. And then Bulimic Koala, I think he came to his senses, right? He says, something has gone wrong in Tupi Start's comments. The awesomeness of Ray and Tim have turned us gay. Oh, boy.
No comment.
No comment. Thank you for at least uncreepifying it just a tad.
Yes.
But then, later in the week, we posted Ray's comic he did in high school Japanese class.
Yeah, I'm glad we were able to put that up for people to see.
Yeah, I liked it. I think some of the detail, like even on the picture that I cropped there for the front page, mm-hmm. when you're ducking with the explosion, you know, like your shirt's kind of fluttering in the wind or whatever, you can see your belly buttons.
Yes.
Like little details like that you wouldn't expect to see in a little sketch comic like that, you know.
Yeah, but I like at the same time though, there's just horrible, horrible things that are just like just really crappy looking to me. Like the way I draw hands are just horrible, and I'm still really sucky at drawing hands. So I look at that and I'm like, wow, I'm still pretty much just as bad as what I was.
have you considered trying to draw outside of the one comic you did draw, but draw a comic for TP Start
by hand?
Yeah, I'm curious to know how well you can draw now these days. I mean, I know you really
haven't. That's a good question, because yeah, I really haven't drawn by hand much. I mean, the closest example we get is the Winning Formula comic, where we did like the Silver Surfer and Mario thing. But
that was supposed to be
then,
like Tim drawing it for...
Right, yeah, even then I did it crappy kind of on purpose. So right. Like if I actually put work into it, it could probably look pretty nice, but... yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe I should.
I mean, not to, like, change
like, draw you and I by
forever.
Hand or something, or, yeah, do something a little different. Because sometimes, I mean, it is easier to just draw and sketch over and over than to make stuff as vectors,
mm-hmm.
you know, from scratch. So, that is one benefit.
As far as I know, you're the only person that's doing webcomics, you know, I guess with the kind of audience that we have. That's doing it all vector with a mouse. That's
and not even like sketching anything before.
No, no sketches.
Like, I just start clicking.
Clicking and dragging with a mouse. To me, that's just unbelievable.
Yeah. So does that make me a freak then? Is that?
I don't know what it means. I mean,
if not enough people do it, then it's like, well, he's a freak.
I'd wonder other people's opinion. Like they would hear that and they'd either be like blown away that you. Done that many comics that way, or like, why are you doing it like that? There's such a faster way to, you know, I don't know what people would say to that. I mean,
yeah,
clearly
I think it depends on where you're coming from. Like, for example, Ronnie Martin of Joy Electric, he does all this stuff, like, he still does it all by tape. He doesn't use computers or anything.
Yeah.
He records all his synthesizer stuff, and he always talks about, like, well, that's just how I started doing it, and it's what's easiest for me, so I just keep doing it. And now it's kind of come to this idea of, like, my music is different from everyone else's because I'm so fixated on doing it in this one style.
Right.
That's not normal. And other people, I'm sure, look at him and go like, why don't you just do this? You could do so many more cool things than... It, you know, eventually kind of make... It's like, well, I kind of decided
on
the style and I don't see how much I can do with
whatever,
it now.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of one of those things. Because, I mean, lately I have been doing a little bit more Photoshop stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of like... You know, like, man, I should have been doing this a long time ago because this is easier. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, like, no, I'm breaking my rules now. I can't do this too much. Got to keep it limited.
If you ever got a tablet, would you? Do you think?
I don't know what I'd do with a tablet. To be honest, it would be. I mean, because I would be battling both my drawing skills and the tablet using a tablet at the same time. I'd probably want to do it in like a step process. First, work on doing sketches a lot, and then use a tablet to start. You know, otherwise it's just too much at once. I think.
Well, I just wonder: is it easy, since a mouse is hard to control like detailed things? Would a tablet help with just creating vectors the way you do it? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, there's a balance here, because if I were to do something by hand, it would give me more freedom to give it more style, perhaps. But at the same time, it's harder for me to do like perfect circles, you know? Like,
right.
When I do a circle as a vector, it's a perfect circle. I'm not going to be able to do a perfect circle by hand unless I start getting out some measuring tools and, you know, tracing around, you know, a shape of some kind. And then I would be losing that mathematical shape, is kind of what I call it, where everything is exact and perfectly straight lines, nothing out of place. I'd be losing that, and I really like that look a lot. I don't want to lose that.
Yeah, it's certainly your style is unique, and I think pretty compelling to me. Like I mean, there's a lot of comics out there, and I think yours look like some of the best I see out there. You know,
as far I mean, that's kind of biased coming from you, though, right?
Well, no, I'd be honest with you. If I thought your comics sucked, then I'd tell you.
Yeah,
but...
on air, yeah.
Yeah, on air for everyone to hear. You suck.
It's like this is like the argument episode here or something.
Yeah,
jeez.
This is. No,
like,
but
like
I...
as hardcore as our arguments get, they're only jokes and laughter. You know, it's nothing serious ever.
But seriously, the Sonic comic we did last week or whatever, just, you know, I look at the way Sonic is drawn in that second to last panel. Nobody could have. I mean, how are you going to get that just right with all those perfect curves and everything like that with just drawing it, you know?
Oh, you could. I mean, you could do it. But as far as, like, doing an outline for it and doing, like, the gradients and stuff, you'd be having to go out of your way to make it look that
clean.
Mathematical, I guess. Yeah, that clean. Mm-hmm. And part of me is surprised that no one else really does it like that. I guess I don't know what it is. I guess people just started with Photoshop and just love that more or something. I mean, I'm just a big fan of being able to take a shape and drag it as big as I want and not lose any definition. You know, I mean, that's what really bugs me about doing stuff in Photoshop. It's like, at some point, it's not going to be big enough anymore, and I'm going to have to blow it up, and it's going to look a little cruddy, or it's not going to be as clear.
Yeah,
and
you have that.
To be able to do that with
now.
Vectors. Yeah, to always be able to do that with vectors and just drag it wherever I want and resize it however, you know, makes me really happy.
Yeah. Well, I do have to say, one of these days we've got to get you to record the process of making the comic.
One of these days.
There's free software that'll record everything that's happening on your screen, and that'd be fun fun to take.
So
it.
Like every 5 frames, Facebook will pop up. See, that's the problem, isn't it?
Oh, boy. Edit,
something like that.
Edit the 12-hour process of Ray making a Sonic comic or something.
What I should do is, like, is record a process that's not what I did at all. And just play that, and then, like, have it just magically turn into the comic at the end. Like,
right.
Like, show me, like, drawing something by hand.
No, it's,
you know,
probably,
just tracing
it would be Ray playing Fly Wrench, and then all of a sudden the comic appears. There, that's it. As long as I beat Fly Wrench in under 6 minutes, the comic's finished.
Throw, like, a Rick Roll in there somewhere.
Oh, man.
All right.
So.
It's that time.
Yes.
Where things get a little dark. Creepy transitions into darkness as the dreaded Black Doom Award approaches. Each week, Tim and I both mention a terrible choice made related to video games in honor of the worst character Sonic Team has ever created.
All of them.
All of them. No. Black Doom.
Well, my Black Doom Award goes... You know, the runner-up here would be Kojima for a stupid hint as to what the next Metal Gear is going to be. Did you see that?
Yes.
Give me a break. Could that be more obvious? It's 360. Thank you. Right?
Yeah, yeah. But people are thinking, like, is it also the Wii? Because there's multiple, like, eyes or exclamation marks. Like,
yeah.
Is it, like, Wii and 360?
Yeah, I guess it could be.
Yes, I'm right! Cha-ching! Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I
hey,
yeah.
Do you remember that time I was right about, like, the 360?
No, I'm not sure I'm going to send you the audio file, and I'm not sure you're going to have a podcast to put together this week. Anyway,
what's your real Black
the
Jack
real War? Real Black
our show Doom isn't long enough and stuff like that, Tim.
Sorry, edit. The real Black Doom Ward goes to Xbox Live and their class system here. I read an article. They were saying, oh, we're gonna give some multiplayer to the Xbox Live Silver members. I was kind of thinking, oh, cool, finally, everyone gets to play online. Like, that's why you buy an Xbox, and it costs, like, $50 a year to do that. Which is kind of, I don't know, retarded. And so, they said, we're going to let the Silver members play online, and so you'll have a month, just a month, but a month to play. But you can only play these games, okay?
Oh, gosh.
A Kingdom for Keflings, Aegis Wing, Bomberman Live, Hardwood Hearts, Hardwood Spades, Uno, Small Arms, and Street Fighter Turbo HD Remix. It's like,
well, at least they have Street Fighter.
It's only arcade games. Yeah, Street Fighter, sure. It's like Aegis Wing. That game was like free with the Xbox.
Jeez.
This is kind of... three of them are card games. I don't know that that's going to really get anybody like, wow, I need Xbox Live Gold, because how am I going to live without playing Uno online against people, right?
Right.
I can't live without... what was I missing? My whole life has changed now. I can't believe it. But I'd just like to see the day where it doesn't cost extra to play online. You know?
Yeah, it'd be nice. You know, but the Wii's free, but we pay through friend code usage, basically.
Yeah, and the PS3 is free, except the system itself is so expensive, so I guess there's no perfect...
The Dreamcast is still free, though, right?
Yeah, except it is dead.
56K connection.
Yeah, 56K.
They're still making games for that thing. I read updates about, like, oh, a new game's being released, and it's also for Dreamcast as well.
Yeah, that I think...
I'm like, that's crazy.
It's funny, because the independent-type developers and... they just have a love for the Dreamcast, and so they're like, hey, it was easy enough to pirate the system. It can't be that hard to make the game compatible with the system, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, my Black Doom Award, I said I wasn't going to talk about this anymore.
Oh, great. Sonic Unleashed.
But I got to bring this up one last time.
Oh, I know what it is, too.
Because some new reviews came in recently.
Yep.
And I pretty much had a heart attack. I pretty much...
You freaked out when I told you about that one, right?
I couldn't believe it! Okay, let's go over this. Are you ready for this? Alright. GameSpot. GameSpot reviewed Sonic Unleashed for the 360. Okay? Now, let's do some setup here. They gave Sonic and the Secret Rings a 7.6. That seems about right to me, 7.6.
Seems about 7.6 points too high, but go ahead.
Shadow the Hedgehog, they gave a 4.8.
That's pretty low, yeah. And probably
that game was
deserving.
Bad, okay? That game was messed up. Clearly, we've talked about this before, it is a horrible game. Sonic the Hedgehog for the 360 that was released in 2006, which is, I believe, the worst Sonic game ever made, and worse than Shadow the Hedgehog by a long shot. 4.4, okay? Much deserved score. That game is terrible. You know what GameSpot gave Sonic Unleashed for the 360? A 3.5. Can you believe that? A 3.5.
Oh, brother.
I'm just thinking to myself, like, did you guys play Shadow the Hedgehog and Sonic 06 before you played Unleashed? Because those games are so bad. Like, they are bad on every level. Like, there's nothing redeeming about any of those games. Yeah, there's nothing redeeming. Unleashed is, like, a pretty decent game. 3.5. Like, seriously? That's crazy talk. I can't believe that. Then, IGN also came out with a review. You ready for this? Sonic and the Secret Rings, they gave a 6.9.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow the Hedgehog, 4.9. Sonic 06, 4.8. Sonic Unleashed on the on the 360, 4.5. Give me a freaking break, people.
So both sites, both major
both sites, rated it lower than Shadow and Sonic 06, which is just unbelievable. There's no way anybody could play those three games and say, yeah, Unleashed is clearly the worst. Give me a break.
And lower than Sonic on the Secret in the Secret Rings, which to me is the worst Sonic game ever created.
And you remember what they gave Sonic Unleashed for the Wii? 7.2.
That's what's
like,
so...
come on! I can't believe this. I cannot believe this.
Well, obviously they're different reviewers reviewing it, but it's like...
Yes,
if...
but it's like they have their grading system.
Right, it's like
all the things
that you didn't like in the 360 version are worse in the Wii version. So
yeah, they're just worse all across the board.
And
if you play the two, it would be clear to as night as day. They're like, wow, the Wii version is clearly a really crappy port of a 360 game.
Yeah, and the other thing is, all the good things they do have to say in their bad reviews of the 360 version are worse in the Wii version. There's less, you know... less opportunity in
right, the controls are worse in the Wii version. It's like the physics are worse, the graphics are worse. I mean, it's just everything's lamer, and it gets like what, four
double
points higher
the score or something.
Yeah, double the score. Give me a break.
I don't get that.
Let me pull this up really quick. IGN's because they have a rating system, unlike my magical rating system, which has no standards anywhere, and I kind of choose a number out of thin air like people say I do. IGN actually has a page where they list off what each number represents, okay? Now, they gave Sonic Unleashed a 4.5, right?
Right.
Let's read what the 4.0 to 4.9 is. Any game that scores in or below this range isn't worth your attention, and if you happen to end up with one, you'll probably find yourself returning it to the store for a refund. These are the games your grandmother buys for you because she thinks they're cute. Trust us, they aren't. Now, let's read what, like, a 6.0 to 6.9 has. Games in this range have more faults than strengths, but still might be worth a look if you're into genres of its type. Other games are polite to the sixes, but they don't get invited to any of the parties. Rent these games or download the demo first before spending your hard-earned money on it. I mean, that sounds like Sonic Unleashed to me.
Very much Sonic Unleashed, right?
Yep, yeah.
Not something your grandma would give you.
Yeah, exactly.
And the read to me what the 7 to 7.9 says.
7.0 to 7.4. Though titles in this range have shortcomings that keep them from achieving classic status, they still boast enough credible ingredients to make them fun in smaller doses.
See, that to me tells me that the Wii versions should not be that high.
Exactly. Yep.
Because
Matt Casamassina was smoking something.
Way more faults than good stuff in that game, right?
Yeah, I agree. And like, I know where to call bad Sonic games. I mean, if they're bad, I can call them. Trust me, people. This isn't a bad game. It's decent. It's a good Sonic game.
Well, somebody needs to tell IGN they either need to rewrite their standards or live up to them, because, honestly, every game they review, once they've given each individual component a score, they say, here's what we think overall, but it's not a mathematical equation of all the components, right? They need to look at that rubric and say, where do I think this game fits? I think that's part of what the reviewers are doing, is they're like, no matter what, we're giving this game a horrible score because we don't like that they did this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. I mean, we do have a Sonic with a sword coming out, so
right,
I know that
yeah.
was already in development at the time, but, you know, I don't have any real hope for the franchise.
I do.
Not that I care that much anyway, but, I mean, I don't know.
And finally, we'd like to wrap up the show with Musical Misfits. These are some favorite video game songs that have been lost in the shuffle over time, and we play it in full after the show's over for those who are interested. And this week I'm tossing one of my favorites in. It's Grabbing the Dynamite from the NES game Gyromite. So, that will do it for this edition of 2P Starts Live. Join us every Wednesday for a brand new comic, and every Monday for a brand new podcast. Just like the one you heard here, except better. With that, he's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.